Welcome to this week's episode. News just in, Team Tuvati will now become three. Congratulations, Kat, from me and all the team here at the Netball Show.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to go on the winning goal, it's just every shooter's dream, and I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to the Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. It's a real privilege for captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team.
I'm Sasha Shipway, and welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno. This week, Bongi Mazumi tells us about the Netball World Cup being awarded to South Africa in 2023.
To host the Netball World Cup 2023 is really exciting.
We hear from a national school's winning head coach, plus your chance to hear about a challenge to meet six of the sport's finest players.
Hi, I'm Gavis Marshall, and this is the Netball Show with Mizuno.
I'm Andy. Remember, the season in the Prem's drawing to a close. The latest roundup from Courtside Comments is online at thenetballshow.co.uk. But with that last-minute winner for Lightning against Wasps, and the rest of the scores from round 10, here's Zara.
Friday saw Celtic Dragons travel to Bath searching for another win. Team Bath won by 6 goals, the score was 56-50. Surrey Storm were at home against Sirens, and Storm won at home 53-44 goals. Saracens Mavericks were beaten by Thunder, 49-57. Stars travelled to the Copper Box and beat London Pulse by 9 goals. It finished Pulse 51, Stars 60. And an exciting last-minute goal for Lightning on Monday saw them take the victory against a travelling Wasps team. They won 60-59.
The final of the National Schools Championships took place last weekend. In the under-14 section, Wirral Grammar beat Bluecoat 18-7 in the final, and St Helen and St Catherine took third.
Patton Horn beat Brighton College 18-4 in the under-16 final.
Hi, it's Laura Hayward here, head coach at Parmenthorne High School. Just want to say huge congratulations to our under-16s who became National Schools Champions recently following that win 2 years ago, under 14 level. Super proud of all the girls. Not even a full squad of year 11. We had 2 year 9s, 2 year 10s, and 3 year 11s in our starting 7. So it was really good to see the youth up there supporting the year 11s in their quest. On the day, I think everyone was expecting Brighton College to win the final because they played outstanding netball consistently all day. Thankfully for us, our girls really stepped up in the final, and at half-time made it difficult for Brighton College to come back. Just want to say a huge thank you to Oldham Netball Club, YWCA Bury Netball Club, DNA Netball Club and Manchester Thunder Pathway Coaches for all the coaching work that they've put into the girls over the years and made them into the quality netballers that they are. It really does make our life at school so much easier. And we're super lucky that the girls are all within a similar age, that we've been able to combine them into one team. Big thank you to the parents for their support. As a school, we can't say how proud we are of you, and we're looking forward to watching your netball careers develop in the future. Well done, girls.
In the under-19s, Worthing College beat Grammar School at Leeds 12-5.
Hi, this is Tina Price from Worthing College, coach of the under-19 National School winners. My girls performed to a very high standard at the weekend to win this title. They remained calm and composed despite the extremely windy conditions. Everything we had worked on in training throughout the year came together. They worked as a team with everyone defending down court and the circle edge feeds only, which was vital due to the conditions. I don't think anyone thought a small state college could win such a tournament, but we proved it possible. Every girl did her job, and I am an extremely proud coach.
A huge congratulations to the winners and everyone that took part, making the day a massive success. In the Super League, as we've been hearing, round 10 didn't disappoint. Team Bath's Sophie Drakeford-Lewis picked up another player of the match from Friday against Dragons. We reckon she only needs another 5 for a free car from sponsors Genuine Car Services. Here's hoping, Sophie.
Surrey Storm got an important home win in their game against Stars. Manchester Thunder beat Mavericks, and Karen Gregg said that the result was important for her team.
Really happy with the result against Mavericks at the weekend. We knew that it was always going to be a really tough game, and in all due respects, it's probably our our most important win of the season so far. The first half of the season hasn't necessarily gone to plan in terms of us losing two games, but what we've learned and taken from those two games have really helped us with our performances as of late. You know, the Mavericks game was tough. We knew they were going to make us feel uncomfortable. They were renowned for being a really strong defensive unit, and they did ask a lot of questions of us. We didn't necessarily start the way I would have liked, but we built into the game nicely and built that pressure. And once we took control, you know, we were able to see through the win.
Mavs George Elise explains it was their consistency over those four quarters that was the problem.
We had a really, really great start. Just unfortunately, we couldn't keep up that discipline and control, which we started with. Really gutted about the loss, but some really excellent patches of play. But for us now, it's just making sure we're consistent across 60 minutes, especially against those top four teams, because that's going to really matter if we want to remain top four heading into the semis and finals. For us now, it's just to go back and focus on what we need to do to remain consistent. And yeah, hopefully, you know, definitely looking at keeping that top four spot as we go into the second half of the season.
Seven Stars came from behind in their game against Pulse to win the match. Coach Sam Bird was delighted to get the win.
Delighted with the win. Players really responded well to the pressure we put ourselves under in the first half, responded really well with a brilliant third quarter. Good attitude, good determination to win, and loads of confidence going forwards.
And Georgia Rowe said she appreciated how the team are progressing.
We've been playing really well. Our connections through court have been getting really strong. So I think it was definitely important for us to get 3 points on the board, which is definitely lifting our confidence now going into the second half of the season.
Obviously, big weekend coming up with a double header. How are you feeling and where's the squad at?
Good. I think we're all feeling good. We're ready for it. We're training really, really hard. We're recovering well to make sure now that our bodies are in the best place going into two games. So we'll be going really hard for these games now.
Back home in Worcester, how important do you think it is to try and get a good performance in front of the Worcester fans?
Our fans have been really, really good this year. It's been packed out every game. So yeah, for them, they want to come and they want to see us do well. That's what they're there for. So we need to repay the favour and be getting wins now, because I think we deserve them.
Obviously, way up there in terms of shooting queens. How do you feel like the attack end has grown this season?
Massively, actually. We think we started really slow. We're new team, new attacking combinations, but we've definitely grown over the season. Our connections are really strong now. We just know each other wants the ball and things like that. So yeah, it's coming along really nice.
Will we see that 100% from you?
I'm going to try. I'm going to get it. I'm definitely going to get it this season. So yeah, maybe Loughborough, it will be the time for me.
And will you know if you get it?
Probably not. No, probably not.
While Ashneel from London Pulse looked back on their 51-60 loss against Stars.
Ashneel here from London Pulse, just reflecting on our game versus Seven Stars on Saturday. I think it was a little bit of a disappointment, if I'm going to be honest. I thought we had progressed since we played them in the first round. I think we still had plenty of positives. I think we just let it slip, and our inconsistency is improving, but we still have a long way to go. And obviously we look forward and are working hard to our next game against Celtic Dragons.
Lightning beat Wasps thanks to a last-minute goal on Monday in what was an incredibly thrilling game. Sarah Bayman realised the importance of picking up points against the top sides.
It was massive to get 3 points against a top four team, with us sitting in fourth in the way that goal difference is looking at the minute. We know that we need to make sure that we get a top four spot based on points alone, and to do that we need to beat the teams around us. It was really pleasing to beat Wasps, who are obviously a quality team, and also to kind of keep our winning momentum going and hopefully take that forward into this weekend coming against Stars.
Wasps midi Bongu Musomi also told us what it means to her home country to host the World Cup in 4 years' time.
To host the Netball World Cup 2023, it's really exciting. I think for all the hard work that has been put in by Netball South Africa, and obviously not denying the performances, but the Spar Proteas and the work that Noma and Nicole has put in since they joined the side has been really great. And I just feel it's more of a reward to get something like this huge. And to be honest, if you think of it, I think it's more of what the country and netball as a code is going to benefit out of this. For all the countries to come to us we definitely have to start preparing and putting plans into place, facilities, everything that needs to be available for netball to be a great sport and to be able to host other countries will have to be there and be ready for the World Cup. And I think even when the World Cup finishes or before that, then all the girls back home can benefit from those things as well, which can just grow the sport in our country. It's been just amazing, and I like the fact that all the girls in all corners of our beautiful country will get to really like watch their netball icons. And sometimes you have role models from overseas and you can't even see them, or you feel you'll never be able to meet them. And I feel those girls will really appreciate the fact that all the netballers, the best in the world, will come to them. And it's just, yeah, it's amazing. I think it's what we need at this stage, and it does give us a great time to prepare for it, which is really nice. Looking forward to it.
Hi guys, this is Kat from Turnford Netball Club. Just want to tell you about a couple of camps we're going to be running over Easter. Both of them are going to be on the 8th to the 12th of April at Wormley Playing Fields in Hertfordshire. Our youngsters camp is for children in year 1 to year 6, and we're also holding a masterclass camp for athletes in year 7 to year 11. We have our wonderful Super League athletes leading at this camp, to include attacking workshop with George Fisher, midcourt with Emily Golving, and a defensive workshop with Zara Everett. The cost is just £20 per day for the youngster camp and £25 per day for the masterclass camp. You can make your booking via our booking form, which can be found at our Twitter page at Turnford NC. Hope to see you guys there.
Just need to mention as well, Anna Kessel, who's been appointed as the first ever women's sport editor at the Telegraph. It's a fantastic appointment. We'll be hoping to speak to her over the next couple of weeks. And they'll produce this as a promo.
Lots of people have said that I look like a man.
I think the worst thing ever said about me playing football is that boys are better than girls.
When someone asks you what you do and you say you're a full-time athlete, and they go, OK, but what else do you do?
Girls shouldn't be on the team. You can't play rugby.
When people say that you can't do something or it's unlikely that you're going to do something, I'm like, now I'm definitely going to do it and I'm going to do it really well.
You see the amount of people that are there and the amount of people that it does affect, and people watch and people are inspired by, and it's those moments that you remember and look back at.
Be the best player I can be to show them that actually gender shouldn't matter.
I think when you're respected within your sport and what you do, you know, hopefully I can be remembered by that.
To actually achieve a dream and to get to the final game is phenomenal.
Last week we heard from Mel Mansfield on the University of Hertfordshire reaching Big Bucks Wednesday, which takes place next week. So what does it mean to the University of Birmingham head coach Danny Titmus?
So we've had a really good season with the ones at Birmingham this year. We finished top of our league, which is amazing, and that was always our aim. Last year we finished third, and we learned a lot about not wanting to finish third and wanting to finish top, so you end up with home semis, and we've done that this year, and it's been amazing. We've also, our second team have done incredibly well, so they're also at Big Bucks Wednesdays. They'll be playing against Nottingham Uni, and we'll be playing against UH. I'm really, really excited. I think the girls are excited. We're realistic in the fact that we are going into this as underdogs, and that's okay. You know, we're playing the reigning champs. Every one of them is a Super League player, and we've got Fran Williams in the Super League set up, and the rest of our squad at MPL, under 21s MPL or under 19 MPLers. So we're realistic that this is going to be a challenge, but we're really looking forward to it, and that anything can happen in an hour. And we're working hard to make sure that the hour goes in our favour. We know obviously they've got some Fish and they've got Sam May, who are going to be some big hitters for them. Something that we've done differently in comparison to last year, and something that I would attribute as to why we've been so successful, is we've had a sports scientist on board with us this year, and he's been absolutely phenomenal in terms of making sure that we can peak at the right time. So he set me the challenge of running intensities at every single session, so I'm not working the girls too hard continuously all of the time, and they actually get a bit of a respite in some sessions occasionally. And I think also we've known more about the league, we've grown together, we had additional players in terms of Maddie Monroe-Hall and Ellie Rattu join us this year, and they've been phenomenal. the squad have actually really improved from where we were last year to where we are now as well. We had Kat Short come and join us partway through last season. She has improved ridiculous amounts. And they are such a tight group that it's great to go out and see them out on court, enjoying themselves, having fun. And I think they just really enjoy playing netball together. So that's I think, that we're, something we're bringing. And obviously a lot of these girls are all at WASC and they'll play together regularly there too. Ultimately, I think, though, no matter what, we're just really, really excited and really looking forward to it. I think the girls are incredibly proud of their achievements so far, and to know that we're coming to this big Bucks Wednesday and the second team are there also, it's going to be a real good Birmingham feel. And we're just excited to take to the court and see what we can do.
And Georgia Lee's fans, she's back for a second appearance this week as she plays for the Uni of Hearts.
I'm really excited to have beaten Manchester Metropolitan University to make it into the Bucks finals. For me, after 5 years at university, I'm just hoping to win a Bucks gold medal. I think we have a really strong team this year, and I know the girls are super excited to defend their sort of championship title that they earned last year. We'll be playing Birmingham University, so I think it'll be quite a good matchup, and I think it'll be a really good game and probably one of the most closely contested games that we've had all year. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
I don't know about you, Zara, but we need to balance this up. Sitting on the fence doesn't do anybody any harm. So here's University of Birmingham's Fran Williams.
The team and I are so excited and over the moon to have reached the Bucks final taking place in Nottingham next Wednesday. We had a really, really tough semi-final against Team Bath, who pushed us all the way after a really, really strong start from us, winning the first quarter 21-6. But the whole team pulled together to come out with a strong win at home, and it was lovely to play in front of such a large crowd in the Birmingham Sports Centre, all supporting us. We're hoping for a really, really exciting final against Hearts in Nottingham next week. It should be a really, really good match-up. Lots of Super League and NPL players in both teams, all who know each other too well as teammates and enemies on different teams. So it should be a really, really exciting game. And I think as Birmingham, we're all really, really up for it.
Great to see as well. If you're wanting to watch the Big Bucks Wednesday netball final on Wednesday, surprisingly, just been announced today that they're going to be streaming that game online on their Twitter as well. They're at Bucks.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
I'm Natalie Morris, this is The Netball Show with Mizuno. Now, we've been speaking to Richard Kirby, who has set himself a series of challenges to meet some iconic netball players before the end of the year. And, unknown to Andy, he selected one of the trickiest names on the list.
Richard, there are, to be fair, two people that I think of challenges. One of them is Annika Rice and the other one is you, so how does that make you feel off the bat?
I would safely say, Andy, that only one of those two people looks anything remotely decent in a jumpsuit. So, and if you're still not sure, Andy, it isn't me. It's something that I've been doing, as you know, for quite some years now. But I've decided that for 2019, I really want to make it mental health awareness, but with a netball related theme. So as you know, we've got a couple of ideas in mind, and hopefully it'll be a good experience for the rest of the year.
And those 100 challenges between 2014 2018, meeting people formed a huge section of that, didn't it?
Yes, within there was an awful lot of people that from all walks of life, some sporting, some music, that I just thought it would be really interesting to see if it would be possible to spend a few minutes in the company of people that had achieved considerably more than I ever have, and in the main all the experiences were fantastic. I met some really, really special people, and the good thing about it, obviously because there's an underlying reason for doing everything, I've stayed in contact with quite a few, which in many ways is actually quite humbling. It was a long 5 years, those 5 years, so I needed a little bit of a break, but It's also very addictive, Andy, as well, when you're getting involved in planning things or training for events or whatever, and it's something that I wanted to carry on. But as I say, this year, just shift the focus and build it around netball and Grangetown in particular, as you know.
Grangetown's support over those years has been a key benefit for this, and just having somebody like that club involved.
Well, going back to 2014, one of the first challenges that I did was to play netball, which I hadn't done before. I'd watched an awful lot of the sport because my daughter was a keen netballer and played county netball up in Tyne and Wear when she was in her teens. So I'd always loved the game, but it was a big thing to sort of put yourself out there when, let's be honest, my fitness and agility aren't quite what they were a few years ago. But I spoke to Jel Williams, the head coach there, who I hadn't met before, and she was so enthusiastic. And they arranged for me to sort of have a 10-minute game when one of the Prem training sessions had come to an end. And it's safe to say, Andy, I wasn't invited back for another game.
Wow.
My shooting stats were just about as poor as they possibly could have been. I have a feeling they gave me a very big ball and a very small net to aim into because, for the life of me, I couldn't even. It was starting to get a little bit embarrassing by the end. But as an experience, it was great. The girls were fantastic, and all welcomed me, onto the court and almost to be part of the club, even though it was the first time I'd met most of them. So ever since, Jel knew that I was quite keen on writing and that I had an interest in sport. It developed from there that I now do reports on all the Prem games, or the home Prem games anyway, interviews and various articles and bits and pieces, just to try and get the club's name out there. And what they've done on court is pretty remarkable over the last two or three years. And, netball is obviously, it's a growing sport, but these girls are fine athletes and, even on a local level, their achievements deserve to be recognised. So, if doing the reports and trying to get the girl's name out there does just a little bit, then I'm more than happy to help out.
So what's he thinking then between this new challenge of yours?
Well, there's two aspects to it. The first one is the Prem squad are going to work with us on a few challenges through the rest of the year. We've got a couple of ideas in mind. And again, it's always going to involve approaching people to ask for help, which was always my sort of main link with mental health, how important it is to be prepared to ask for help, even if it's something that doesn't come naturally. We're thinking of approaching a professional football team to see if they'll agree to do a penalty shootout with the girls. We've got a local darts world champion on our doorstep in Glenn Durrant, who I met through the original challenges and have stayed friends with. He'll arrange to do a game against a few of the squad players as well. So it's kind of taking them away from the netball court and getting them involved in one or two events that will allow us to spread some important messages. The second side of things, Andy, is, as you know, a random list of 50 Super League and international netballers that I drafted. And
how were these chosen? how did you manage to rattle them down?
I basically picked four from every Super League club and then a couple of internationals that maybe, obviously there's people that aren't based in this country that was always going to make it slightly more difficult. But then Askew and Becky Oatley and the team behind Courtside Comments, if they would pick two numbers completely at random, you didn't even know what you were picking for at the time, Andy, did you?
And, Absolutely no idea.
And those numbers tallied with six particular people on the list. And the netball-related challenge for me is to try and meet them all before the year's out. Unfortunately, living in Middlesbrough, there's nowhere really on the doorstep. I did actually put our three Super League players, I put Ash, Bree and Twainy on the list in the hope that somebody would pick the right numbers and I could actually tick three off at one of our Prem games. But that would have been great, but hasn't worked out that way. The randomizer didn't work. I was sorely tempted to cheat, but I didn't. And so basically six names at random, and I appreciate it's quite difficult for those who suddenly appeared to have found themselves involved in something they knew nothing about and didn't ask to be involved in. But hopefully, on a serious note, that the mental health message that I've been trying to sort of highlight for a number of years will be important and relevant enough for some of the, at least some of the girls to think, I can spend a few minutes of my time and have a chat. And that's basically what I'm hoping to try and achieve. So the logistics now is to try and make contact with these people or ask through friends of friends if it's possible to make contact and just see if something can be worked out over the next 8 or 9 months.
So who's on the list?
Right, the list, there is Marika Holzhausen from Seven Stars in South Africa, Rachel Dunn, Catherine Turner, who is at Manchester, Lindsay Keeble from Mavericks, Tamsin Greenway was on the list, and I don't really want to give away who picked Maria Folau, who was the last name that came out, but it was you, so it was you, so thanks, Andy. I'm not entirely sure how achievable that's going to be unless somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who might be able to put me in touch. That's going to be quite difficult, but at least the other five are based in this country, which means I've got a fighting chance. I'm going to watch Pulse at Wasps at the end of the month. Obviously, two of our girls, Ash and Bree, are part of the Pulse squad. I'm hoping that certainly Rachel Dunn and maybe Tamsin will be around, and that they might be able to spare a couple of minutes. But we'll see. That sort of thing is just trying to plan ahead and hope that these six young ladies will be willing to get involved.
If that really was me that picked out Maria, then...
Yes, it was. If you want to pay the airfare, Andy, you're more than welcome.
Try and tempt her over for Fast Five. That's how we'll sort that.
Yeah, either that or the World Cup. I think it's, some of the things that I've done down the years have been sort of really involved and quite, difficult to sort out. And you can end up spending hours arranging to contact people, a lot of time travelling just to sort of spend maybe 15, 20 minutes in somebody's company. But actually for me, the people that I've been lucky enough to meet, including like Olympic medalists and what, it's an absolute privilege for me. I'm actually sort of honoured that they're prepared to take time out of the day to talk to somebody that, they don't know and they've never met. And hopefully the fact that I've been doing this work for, a good 5 or 6 years now demonstrates that I'm serious about, about mental health and trying to sort of, get the message across that it's okay to talk openly about these things and ask for help if you really are struggling. But I also appreciate that, I have no real right to ask a complete stranger if they spend, time in my company. But so far down the years, all the experiences have been positive. And, I have no reason to doubt that I'm sure the sport of netball is, will be every bit as welcoming as well.
It's that unknown, really. But a lot of the time you'll just find that the people that you've contacted are totally genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, probably and it's all relative, but probably the personal highlight was meeting a married name is Brightwell, but back in 1964 she was Ann Packer, and who won the 800 meters in Tokyo. It's one of the most amazing bits of sport that I've ever seen. I'll say that I saw it later because I didn't see it live because I was only about 2 months old, but it's an amazing piece of sporting imagery, and to actually get in touch with her. And she not only agreed to meet me, she invited me over to her house to actually sort of drink tea and chat over her kitchen table. Yeah. We stayed in touch, and she subsequently wrote the foreword to a book that followed, at the end of the all these challenges. So I'm just, I feel incredibly lucky that somebody's achieved more in 2 minutes than I've ever achieved in quite considerably more years, was prepared to take her time out and actually to stay in touch and sort of build a friendship from there. It's quite hard to get your head around, to be honest.
And the book, was that obviously that natural step? How did that come about? Were you pleased with how things had gone with that?
It was totally unexpected, Andy. It wasn't something that I'd planned to do, but I had a mental health publisher offer me the chance to send a submission through. Now, I'd been writing about the challenges. What I hadn't done is written about my own personal experiences, because the condition I have is a fairly low level form of depression, but it's chronic. I've had it basically for 40 odd years. So I actually was given the chance to sort of share stories and experiences and build that story around the challenges that had taken place more recently. So it turned out very well. It was published spring last year, and it's something I'm glad I did, but yeah. To be honest, Andy, it's an incredibly stressful and difficult process, having to try and recall things and not only commit them to paper, but actually have an editor go through them and start asking questions and asking for more information. So I actually found it quite draining, and it did make me feel quite withdrawn for a few months after the publication. It was the excitement didn't really hit me, to be honest. It was more a case of it was a very difficult thing to go through. So I'm glad I did it, because ultimately you have no idea who you're reaching, and you know, maybe one person has seen the book and thought, oh, you know, I have those symptoms, or I know somebody who seems to have symptoms that could be compatible with the condition that I have, and in which case that justifies absolutely everything. But as a standalone process, Andy, it's not one that I probably would ever want to repeat.
I think if I ever got around to doing mine, it would be an audio book, and then I'd work backwards from that.
Yeah, I was told that they would probably do my book as an audio book, and my first thought was a real panic that nobody at all would certainly pay to listen to my voice drone on for a good few hours. But apparently they do it with professional actors, so you know, if there was any actor looking for work who had a really dull, grumpy voice, then they could have been in business. But I don't know what the situation is with that. I've taken a real back step from all of that, and main focus, you know, for the last few months has all been around Grangetown and netball in general.
Remind us of those names.
Their names are Marika Holthausen, Tamsin Greenway, Catherine Turner, Rachel Dunn, Lindsay Keeble, and Maria Falau.
All personal friends of the show, no doubt.
I sincerely hope so. I hope they stay personal friends of the show after this as well, Andy.
Very good. The best way then they can get in touch with you direct? Oh, we don't mind helping.
Yeah, easily get in touch with you. My email address, if anybody does want to drop me a line, is richard.kirby50@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, so if anybody wants to drop me a line or feels they can help in any way, I'll be more than happy to give them a bit of background as to the reasons why, and fingers crossed I'll have some good news for you as the year goes on, Andy.
More information on Richard's challenge is online at thenetballshow.co.uk.
Here's the round 11 fixtures as we head even closer to the big Easter weekend, and we can't wait. Tomorrow, it's Team Bath versus Sirens. On Saturday, Thunder will face Wasps. A change of venues, though, because of George Ezra, and we guarantee that is the only time his name will ever be mentioned in this podcast. Seven Stars are at home against Lightning, Saracens Mavericks face Surrey Storm, and the Sky Cameras travel to the Welsh capital on Monday as Celtic Dragons face London Pulse.
Online you can listen to past shows, catch up on the newest player blogs, and there's direct links on how you can subscribe to The Netball Show wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Oh, and before we go, have you seen who's going to be on the next episode? Look, that looks good, doesn't it?
Hey, show me.
How on earth did we manage that?
Come here, guys, let's see.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to score the winning goal. It's just every shooter's dream, and I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. It's a real privilege for captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team.